Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Name that Steven Spielberg movie.
Jurassic Park, of course.
1993. Is it, though, a good watch now? Are all of those movies that we remember fondly from the 80s and the 90s ones that you can actually sit your children down in front of on a rainy summer school holiday afternoon? Because very often they're not. Sinead Fox from bumblesofrice.com joins me on the line to take us through some of those classic movies and whether they're worth a rewatch now. I can't tell you the number of times that this has happened to me, Sinead, that kind of that was a good movie back in the day. And about 5 minutes in, you realise, oh God, this hasn't stood the test of time at all.
You're hiding behind your fingers, basically saying, what did I make my nine-year-old watch this for?
And yeah, you've got these children looking at you completely incredulously and saying, what are you on, Dad?
Yes, been there. Been there many times. And like, really, Mom, is kind of what I get. Really? Do you think?
Really,
why
Mom?
Did you think? Yeah, like, you're doing well if they're interested in it. But then if there's something that they're cringing a little bit about, be it. And like, it ranges from everything. It can be like the tame stuff is the effects are so bad. Did people really think it was raining? Did people really think to racism? Like, there's blatant racism throughout a lot of my movies I enjoyed. The gender stereotyping is horrific.
And there is really nothing in the world to make you feel quite as old as a withering, really, Mom from a 9 or a 10-year-old, is there?
Yeah.
Tell me something, though. Have the film classifications changed since the 1980s? Are we more liberal now with what we will allow children to watch than we were back then?
Maybe the opposite, in fact.
Oh, really?
They got away with things in the 80s and 90s. So absolutely, like you said, they have changed. So there'll be some movies that previously were PG, and they actually, when they were re-released, they ended up being 12s when they were looked at in light of the new guidelines. So things like sexual innuendo, I think maybe it was presumed it would go over children's heads. And in fairness, a lot of that stuff does, in the same way that if you go to, you know, some of the cooler kids' movies over the last few years, the animated ones, there's always a few little jokes for the moms and dads in there just to keep us listening. There's a few little things that we get that maybe others, you know, that the children won't get.
And for the most part, do you not find that children understand what they understand and then they don't understand what they don't understand? It does just go completely over their heads.
So it's the middle kids, it's the tweens, who are a little bit, they know what's going on. They watch TikTok when they're allowed, or the YouTube shorts. They've an idea that some of these things, they might know what they mean, but they know they're probably not supposed to know, to be listening, or they've an idea it's a bad thing.
So have the classifications been changed or updated in any of these movies?
Yeah, so there's two. So one would be Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters was originally rated PG and it was censored. It was for the British Board of Film Classification, which is an example that I got. So in 85, 93, 95 and 2009, it was PG. In 2011, it was class 12A. And at that stage, it was for moderate sex references and innuendo. Now, if you watch it with your kids, and I know there probably are people in the car maybe with kids, so I don't want to tell them what it is, but there's suggestions of acts that mommies and daddies do as opposed to the children might do. There may be a few hand gestures or mouth gestures that children might not know what they want. And small kids, if they think something is funny, they might replicate these things. So you need to be careful.
I have to confess, though, I'm a little bit mystified as to what the effective difference is between under 12s accompanied and parental guidance. Does it not amount to the same thing?
It does, but I think my youngest child, she's now 11, but she used to say, I don't know, I don't think I can watch a 12 one. I'm 7. Like, she used to know PG was probably okay if we were sitting beside her. And she used to say, I don't think I can watch it. They're a little bit, I think they'll, you know, it's kind of, it's on you with the 12A if you sit with them. Parental guidance, I think, are the ones you probably could get away with putting on the, I was going to say the DVD. Who actually puts on a DVD anymore? Putting it on Netflix, okay, or putting it on whatever your streaming
you can
service is.
Switch off or go in, yeah, and clean up the kitchen.
Exactly. But then there's guidelines. Like there's a lot of websites that will tell you what trigger, you know, what might not be appropriate anymore. But I would take them with a grain of salt though sometimes too.
Okay, well, look, use your own judgment on that one. But the question of judgment that we're looking at here is it any good any longer? 1990 was when Home Alone came out. Now, there has been a lot of cinema time between now and 1990. Let's just remind ourselves with a brief clip.
What's the matter?
I have a terrible feeling.
About what?
That we didn't do something.
Ah, now you feel that way because we left in such a hurry. We took care of everything. Believe me, we did.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No, I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage. That's it.
No, that's not it.
What else could we be forgetting?
Your child is what you're forgetting, you fools. It's still one of the best played scenes ever, isn't it? Or is it?
I love it. I have a huge soft spot for Home Alone. And I like it. It's the slapstick humour. And like, absolutely, it's violence. You know, you don't want to get a hot iron in your head. You don't want to, you know, there's the burn on the doorknob. Like, there's some horrible violence. But it's funny, it's iconic, it's children's dreams come true. A child getting left at home, getting to look after themselves, getting to eat what they want, getting to jump on their brother's bed. You know, all of these things that they won't get to do like the youngest child. The memes are still going. Everybody knows it. It's instant. Like, you can buy Home Alone jumpers, Home Alone hats. Everybody watches it at Christmas every year. Like, I will not miss watching it at Christmas. And Home Alone 2 is just as good.
We won't. I get that. But what are the little ones making of it now?
Mine adore it. Like, it's the one movie that I can get my teenagers in a room to watch every Christmas. And like, they've watched it with their granddad. They've watched it. You know, it's all the family will chuckle along to it. So it's one of the, and it, you know yourself, with teenagers, it's very difficult to get something that will appeal to all. But it certainly in my house and lots of people that I know, everybody has something in it.
E.T. Now, this is one of the greatest sources of amusement in the Boucher Hayes household, because when it comes on at Christmas, you can be absolutely guaranteed that the tears are going to be rolling down Dad's face. It is 42 years old, this movie. So I am immediately a 10-year-old boy all over again and absolutely loving it. My kids aren't looking at the TV screen. They're looking at me and rolling around in fits and gales of laughter. It hasn't worked for them.
Yeah, I was 6 when it came out. And for my 7th birthday, I got an E.T. teddy. And I used to bring him everywhere, including to my aunt's wedding. So E.T. was a big part of my life. I got a box of Lego and an E.T. teddy. So I loved E.T. And I think it was one of those films that, like, even though I was, say, 7 when I was watching it, we used to get the video from the video man who came to the house and we'd watch it over and over. It was a lot. It's long in terms of it can go quite slowly sometimes for kids. Kids, I think, nowadays need flashier, like, less mellow maybe. Sometimes they're looking for more action. And mine, you kind of have to win them over on it. But it is, I think it is a classic. And I think as they get older, your 5-year-old is not going to sit down and watch E.T. And it's really sad in parts. So if you've got somebody who has maybe had a family member in hospital, when E.T. gets sick, like, I think, you know, it would be very difficult to watch.
We're not going there. You're going to trigger me.
You're going to start crying. We'll have to end the slot.
another thing that will trigger an awful lot of people of my generation is any discussion of the Star Wars movies, the letdown ones.
Of the new, Jar Jar. Do we mention Jar Jar?
Well, do you even bother trying to introduce anybody of this generation to those 3 movies?
I think stick with the 3. I think that The original Star Wars trilogy.
1, 2, and 3, as in 4, 5, and 6.
The middle. Yeah, the ones that we watched first. Because they're still, like, they're actually very funny. Some of this, like, there's cheesy lines when you watch them back. You know, there's a, you know, Han Solo has some good lines. the Chewy factor that they just couldn't replicate with Jar Jar.
They do, but I mean, my kids have to say Return of the Jedi, they ended up just walking out of the room. The
effects they hate as well, because they're just so poor compared to the newer movies.
I know, they are very clunky at this stage. Now, speaking of which, some of the prosthetics used in the Goonies really haven't stood the test of time, have
they? No, and it's really hard to sit down and watch a movie that you're very fond of from your childhood to have your children sit on the couch beside you going, what even is that? What's that supposed to be? What's that stuck there? This is, you know, and it's a challenge when you're watching those movies that really have lovely stories, that are wholesome, that have adventure, and you have to get them beyond it. Sometimes we have the conversation beforehand, like give it a few minutes. When, you know, you might see some stuff that doesn't look very real, and just kind of bear with me here because it's a good story. But you kind of need the popcorn and the M&Ms at the beginning of those movies to get them to the couch sometimes.
It is an act of persuasion, isn't it? Now, by way of contrast, though, this one, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, is absolutely not.
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
Because just like Home Alone, they get to put themselves in that situation and say, God, can you imagine if?
Yeah, and like, there's a lot of boldness, you know, they enjoy that, the idea of breaking the rules and getting away with things, take off. And now, with Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I will say, it's not for the younger kids. No. And some of the, like, you see, your teenagers should get a kick out of it, your older kind of tweens, because it's just something different. And especially with their parents encouraging them to watch it. Now, you've got, obviously, go easy on the encouragement. If you, a milligram too much pressure, the wrong unit for pressure, and you're never going to see them again. The PlayStation will be visited, and that it's over and out.
But
it does come around. And that one, I always enjoy that. I get the laughs out of it. And as long as you don't tell the kids there's lessons to be learned, then you're probably on a good one with the old ones.
Don't stake your credibility on something like that at all. Just let them enjoy the film
morals,
by themselves. Here's one that I was kind of ambiguous about, but people liked back in the day. 1992 was its day. Cool Runnings.
This was one of the ones we watched during COVID. And to be honest, I couldn't remember the movie particularly well till we put it on. And then it all started coming back to me.
John Candy, Jamaican bobsleighing.
John Candy was in so many of the movies that I grew up. Like, Uncle Buck was another one that, again, a little bit questionable now. He had a cameo in Home Alone. I suppose we used to get the ones from the Video Man that he was in, because we recognised that guy. Cool Runnings is actually... it's a really nice film. It's funny. It was very, very loosely based on the story of the Jamaican bobsleigh team. So, you know, it's an Olympic year, so it might be a topical one to watch. And the bobsleigh team qualified for the Olympics, and it was kind of just how overcoming adversity, I guess. Mm-hmm. Everybody working together to get the team to try. And, you know, they didn't win gold, but you could see that they won something, and it was about participating. But it was fun enough that when I put it on, children stayed in the room, even though, you know, there was eye rolls at the start, but they stayed in the room. So that's always a good measure in my house.
Let's just go back to where we started for a second and Jurassic Park. Now, you would think that kids would be so familiar with dinosaurs that it would all be very commonplace by now. But Spielberg is such a good tension builder and storyteller. This is the man who made Jaws, after all. That there must be parts of that movie that are actually quite scary.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
If you are eight or nine, I mean.
Or 48, there are some bits that are really scary. And even like the dinosaurs, I think it was the first time that they looked really real on the screen, and the sharpness of their teeth and the drool hanging down. And there's a scene where somebody is grabbed off a toilet, and that's quite early in the movie.
There is, but you know the one that I remember most is the cup of water on the dashboard vibrating.
Yeah. And it looks very like the water you get on a plane. So I do have a little kind of, every time, if I have a glass of water out and you see the little ripples in it, it does build tension. So those things stay with you.
A couple of others here that are maybe worth honourable mention. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, 1989.
Look, how old do you feel? Yeah. They're silly. Like, they're really silly movies. But silly movies are movies you can put on for young children. And a lot of the time, small kids nowadays, I think they've got so many cartoony things going on that it can be hard to get them to watch people movies. And I think maybe in the 80s, there were more people movies that were targeted towards young, as in with real actors. Now, I know Disney's kind of doing the, you know, the live action, but it's more cartoons are being pushed kind of down towards the younger kids. You have the likes of Wonka maybe as well. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids had people in it and they were funny and they were zany.
Yeah, but the effects must be pretty clunky at this
stage. Horrific. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, if that's what gets your older kids to stay in the room going, really, you believe that then? Like the time, you know, times must have been hard. So, like, you know, in that sense, if you can, you have to look at any of these with the lens of explaining to them, these movies are 40 years old or 30 years old. We didn't have the technology. How lucky are you that we have now? But maybe look at it as a history, you know, as a history lesson or just an experiment to see how far things have gone. And like, I give mine the warnings as well about, look, there's a lot of sexism in this. Or, you know, this isn't actually the way it is. And they know it. And my daughter will certainly say, why did they get away with that then? You know?
Which makes me think, back to one of my favourite films, but it has a moment in it that even back then had me sort of questioning myself, is Big and Tom Hanks's relationship as a 12-year-old boy in the body of a man with a fully grown woman. It's a bit dodge, isn't it?
It really, at the time, when I watched it as a kid, I was like, oh, this is so funny, this is cool. Looking at it, now I did watch it with my children and I just got the most uncomfortable feelings. Like, you have a 12-year-old in a man's body having a romantic relationship or continuing a romantic relationship with an adult female. So she has fallen in love with the 12-year-old inside Tom Hanks' body. Like, just like, take a moment to kind of think about that. And it does make you feel uncomfortable. Whereas I think adults will look at that. Kids will look at, oh my God, that's so cool because he got to be a man's body and he got to go on the piano in F.E.O. Schwartz.
Yeah, I know, but it is.
He got to do cool
psychologically
stuff.
Complex, to say the least. Okay, let's be parochial to end. War of the Buttons, a really, really great Irish film about two rival gangs in Cork in the 1960s.
Right, lads, back off. But keep your guard up. We don't trust this lot an inch.
What was that? Was it us waving the white flag surrendering?
It was a truce, Muttonhead. Watch him.
Truce? You're all talk. What's up? Scared of another hammering?
That's funny, I can't remember the first one.
30 years old now. How has it stood up?
Because it's set, I think sometimes when movies are set in the past when they're made, they'll hold up better. So because it's not like trying to be the top technology. It's lighthearted, it's humorous, it's one you can watch with the family, and the Cork people need a little bit of consolation today, so we'll give a big thumbs up to War of the Buttons.
Okay. All right, well, let us hope, Sinead Fox, that this item is completely redundant and that we get the kind of glorious weather for the rest of the summer that means that nobody is going to be watching movies indoors at all.
Let's hope.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sinead Fox, bumblesofrice.com.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.